Amen. Well, at the end of this wonderful book of Hebrews, it's a very important book. It's very unique. And in chapter 11, we see how important this living faith is. It is not just believing. Remember that. Please, write this definition of faith in your heart. Faith is the substance and the substantiation of the things hoped for. Can you imagine you're hoping and hoping and hoping and nothing happened? Right, it's not good. Right. But we have faith and not just hope. And faith is the substantiation. And Hebrews tells us, whatever you read, whenever you hear the word of God speaking to you, whether through the Holy Spirit in you or in reading the word of God, especially when you read the word of God. That's why I hope the young people will love to read the word of God. Yeah, you've read so many things. I know my granddaughter likes to read. Every time I see my granddaughter, she's reading something. I say, well, what are you reading? But the best book to read is called the book. Yeah. It's the Bible, the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. And when you read it, you're not reading a novel. You're reading God's promises. What God intends to give you. And what God will give and is giving us is the best. And that's why you can see all these wonderful witnesses who believe in the Word of God. And it's not just believing. They went through, they experienced the reality. In every one of them, every case, you can see the history in the Bible. This is why the Bible is so wonderful, because it's not just written as a novel or theology, but it's a book of history. It's a historical book. What kind of history? The history of God's dealing and promises and leading his people. Beginning from Abel, a wonderful brother who brought a wonderful, a more excellent offering to God. This is really worthy for us to learn, because we are learning now to bring offerings to the living God. Learn to bring the best. God gave you the best, right? In fact, he even gave his only begotten Son to be our sin offering, to die for your sins, to bring salvation and life to you. God gave his best. What about us? Do we bring the best to God? He gave his best. Many times in the morning, I sang that song, "What Shall I Give You, Master?" Because he has given himself to us, his life, his God. But he left his glory to become a man like you and me. To do what? To go through all these sufferings. And then he went to the cross to be our sacrifice for sin. Then he rose again, and now becoming the life-giving Spirit to dwell in us. And then he went up and became the great heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, King of righteousness, King of peace, interceding for you every day, all the time, nonstop, and then saving you to the uttermost and helping you in every situation. Isn't that wonderful? He's very busy helping you, BJ. Isn't that good? Yeah. Right. So that we can reach the goal just like him. he reached the goal, the wonderful goal as a man today sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on High, sitting on the throne for your sake, because that is your destiny. Right. Hebrews 12 went on. What we read, go to chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, my, if you look at chapter 11, this is a great cloud. Let me tell you, those are just a few of the many more samples. This cloud of witnesses are even greater than what is listed here in chapter 11. Sorry, right. Just like Paul said in chapter 11, he didn't have the time to bring every witness there. We also didn't have the time to talk about it, but we don't need it because it's all written there in the scriptures. You can read it yourself. If you appreciate them, then please read, because you can learn a lot. Not just about their experience, but about this wonderful God who promised them so many things and who helps them and supplies them with every need for them to make it. If they could make it, what about you? You're even better, it says here. God has even better things, prepared better things for us today. So if they could make it, Jasper, how about you? You have the faith? You're going to make it? Yeah, you should jump up and say, yeah, I can make it. I will make it. Of course. Have you ever seen in the Olympics somebody running in the race and made it and says, yeah, I made it? They were crazy. They were just rejoicing there, getting the gold, getting the crown. But we are running a much better race. If you see the goal. Now you tell me, what is your goal? To be crowned with honor and glory, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to inherit the universe. Isn't that wonderful? People who won in the Olympic just get that. It's about this size, right? Isn't it? And they even try to see if it's real. Huh? They're not even sure that it's real gold. Well, nobody can be sure about anything today, right? Yeah. But the Lord made it to the goal, sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Majesty on High. And Hebrews chapter 1 says, God has appointed him to be heir over all things, to rule over the universe. He became the ruler over the kings of the earth, crowned with honor and glory in Hebrews chapter 2. This is supposed to be our destiny. What is man in chapter 2 says? Are you a man, or you prefer to be a dog or a monkey? No, you're a man. What is man? Man is created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. That's why you're so intelligent. Or are any of the monkeys so intelligent? We have a dog, right? You have a dog there. It's a special dog. Otherwise, no dog will stay in my home, right? It's a special dog. But it's not as intelligent as Rebecca. Rebecca, oh, even Ivanka is more intelligent. Right? A million times, you're right. What is man? Chapter 2 in Hebrews says, what is man? God has made man to have dominion over all things. This is written in Genesis chapter 1. You are made to rule, to have dominion. Right? You have dominion over Mercedes, right? That's the name of your dog, right? Because you're a man. Would you like to change place with Mercedes? Oh, never. You won't do that. Right. You are a man. You have dominion. Hey, look at this earth. Without man, who's going to rule this earth? You tell me. Gorillas? The snakes? The birds? Name an animal that is able to rule this earth. But unfortunately, man is fallen because Satan deceived man and sin entered. Look what, how they rule the world. The history of the world is a history of world war, killing each other. I don't care which nation it is, that is the end. That's why every empire at the end disappeared, corrupted, destroyed. And now they're repeating history again today. Because of sin. That is why the Lord came to save us, to redeem us. Right? We don't see man ruling properly today, but we see Jesus. This is what chapter 2 says. Jesus overcame Satan. He overcame all the principalities and powers and all the opposition against him, even human religion, even Judaism. They wanted to kill him. They want to get rid of him. Right? But the Lord overcame them. And he was willing to die, not because of himself, but because of you, because of all of us. He paid a price for you so that you can reach your destiny, the wonderful goal and destiny that God has created us for, to rule. God told Adam, you must have dominion over all of his creation. You must rule. I love Hebrews chapter 2. We don't see that yet, but we see Jesus crowned with honor and glory, ascended to the throne. Now he's ruling. Yeah, now he's ruling. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. He's the ruler over the kings. Verse 5, over the kings of the world. Don't think they are ruling here. No, the Lord is ruling until he make all of his enemies his footstool. They're all under his feet. He's ascended far above all principalities and powers and government, it says, and dominion, and every name that is named. Not only in this age, but in the age to come. That is your destiny. That is why in Revelation chapter 1, right, it says God's goal, dying for your sins, is to make you a king. To make you a king. And to make you a priest today to serve God. The same thing in chapter 5, verse 10. He saved us to make you a king. Don't you want that? Or do you want to be a slave of sin? You sure? That's why you were baptized. To be free from the dominion of sin and death. It's written. It's all written. If you read it, in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is setting us free, or has set us free, from the law of sin and death. Right. There's a wonderful salvation, freedom, not to live according to our flesh, but freedom to serve God. That we will be perfected by faith to reach the goal. And so many wonderful experiences of these people in the past, men of faith, from Abel all the way to the prophets, in many different kinds of situations, including being martyrs. Because what we are seeing today and living on this earth today is temporary. When the Lord comes back, there's judgment time. Right. Wrath. It's called a great day of God's wrath. Don't think God will not judge. It's written all in the Word of God. When the sixth seal is open, the whole world, from the least to the servant to the kings, they will all know, God's wrath has come, and there's no place to hide. Yeah. So, chapter 12 tells us, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, don't think this cloud of witnesses is not important. Even in this world, if you play soccer and nobody was watching and cheering for you, it's boring, right? Nobody, you made a goal and no sound, nothing. But if you go to a real, game there with so many people watching, and you made it go, everybody jumps up, right? I don't care which sport it is, you have a big crowd there cheering for nothing. Putting a ball, a little round thing with air into the basket, and everybody's, they became crazy. Putting a ball in a basket. When I was very young, there's a restaurant called Aristocrat, and their best food is chicken in a basket. I prefer that. I can't eat a ball in a basket, but chicken in a basket, that's wonderful. They really made a basket there, and we had this tasty chicken. Right. But look, this crowd, great crowd of witnesses, is hoping that you will reach the goal, because they're waiting for that. They're waiting. They're watching. They're waiting. And the angels are watching. Can you imagine that the angels in heaven, the Lord said, will be greatly rejoicing to see one person saved. Just one. They'll be rejoicing. They will say, go! One person is saved. Hallelujah. Hey, are you happy if you see one person saved? Really? You're rejoicing, jumping around, dancing. Right. This is a great work of Christ, to save just one person. Right. So we have a wonderful goal, and our goal today is to reach Christ has attained. So here, because of that, Let us lay aside every weight. Just like an athlete, when they enter into that field, they forget about everything except to make it, to win, not to lose. You want to be a loser or a winner? When the Lord comes, that is the most important thing in a human life. Hey, if you win in a team, after you go home and the next day, how do you feel? Empty. Believe me, you'll forget it already. Just one or two days, you already forgot what happened. It doesn't last. Your joy lasts maybe for 2 hours. After that, you're so tired, you say, boom, fall on your bed, and I'm glad it's over. But no, our Lord Jesus Christ, there, sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning, full of glory. He didn't say, I'm glad it's over. I'm going to stay in the tomb for a few more days. No, he rose again within 28 hours. He didn't see corruption. And then he ascended after 40 days. And now he's ruling and reigning. As a man, okay, not as God. Because this is your destiny. That's the reason why he himself became a man, to recover humanity. You should appreciate being a man today. Not just to have a good life on this earth right now, it's temporary. But we see the goal, running a race. Can you run a race without a goal? No, no goal, you're just running in every direction and not even knowing when you're going to reach the goal. And what goal? Where are you running to? When you run a race, you need a goal, right? Paul says when he's fighting this fight, he's not beating the air. He's not beating the air. He knows where to fight, where the enemy is. You cannot run a race without a goal, can you? No. And what is your goal? The same goal as the Lord Jesus Christ has attained, because your goal is to be a king, to co-king, to be a co-king with Christ, to rule with him over the nations and over all of God's creation. Hey. Don't think it is a small thing. You miss that, you missed everything. Not only you will miss it, if you missed it, you also have to pay something. You will suffer loss. And then still you're saved, but Paul says, as through fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a very important chapter. Don't think we Christians, I'm saved, I'm okay, I'm going to heaven. You better read the Bible again, okay? Read it carefully. Read it carefully. Read it carefully. Then you will know what your goal is. That's why when you're running the race, you're looking unto Jesus. Because he is our forerunner, it says in Hebrews. Jesus is our forerunner. He's the anchor of our soul, and he entered in. As a man, he entered in. So he is your example. In chapter 11, you have a lot of examples, but they didn't reach the goal yet. But now you have a wonderful example, Jesus. He reached the goal. He went through all the sufferings, all the trials. He's not a theologian, no. But he knows God. As a man, he is one with God. And he did everything that is well-pleasing to the Father. And he was able to say, I and my Father are one. What a man. Even Pontius Pilate has to confess, looking at Jesus, he said, what a man. What a man. Today you need to look unto him. Look unto him. Read all the four Gospels carefully to see how the Lord Jesus Christ lived as a man on this earth. Pure, holy, righteous. Sin was not in him. And Hebrews tells us in chapter 5, he learned obedience. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. Obedience needs to be learned. Right? What a Christ. You have to learn to see Jesus, looking away from all the things unto Jesus. If you go through a problem, you should look away and look unto Jesus, because Jesus went through more problems and more sufferings than you. And many times we just met a little test and suffering and we murmur. And we are angry and we run away. I don't know what we are looking at. You look at a problem. But it's better to look away from everything unto Jesus. Because he is the author. And I like what Sharon says, not just the finisher. Of course he finished. He ran the race. He finished. He reached the goal. But he is the perfecter of our faith. That means your faith needs to be perfected. Yeah, sometimes you say, I believe, but really? When the test comes, you fail. Then you say, okay, I believe, until the test comes. Right. Anyway, look away from everything unto Jesus. If you want to make it, of course, if you don't care, it's up to you, right? I'm not forcing you. The Lord will never force you. If you don't want the glory, it's up to you. It's your choice. The Lord will never force anybody. The Lord came voluntarily to save you. And he will never force you. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God didn't force them. Eat this tree of life right now, okay? You would force people to do it. But God will not. God let them choose what they want. This is the most wonderful thing, the free will that God has created in man. You have to appreciate that. Nobody can force you. No. Right. So, let us read here again. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, read the Bible, please, to know and see all this wonderful cloud of witnesses. I like the word cloud. Where do you find cloud? On this earth, right? In the ground? Huh? In the heavens, meaning to say these witnesses really know the heavenly riches. They are heavenly witnesses. And they are called witnesses because they went through. They have experienced. Not just believing in doctrines and that's it. No, they went through the real experience. Cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Praise the Lord. Right. You want to run the race, you cannot carry a bag of sand, a sandbag in your back, and with a, okay, maybe not a sandbag, but a backpack full of water there in the back. You run the race like that, you're not going to make it, okay? You may not reach the goal. No, you lay aside every weight. Even 1 ounce of weight, if you can shed it off, is necessary. Right? Is necessary. If you're a swimmer, you know. Right? Every weight. If you want to win. If you're just swimming for recreation, it doesn't really matter, right? But if you are in a competition, you're in a race, that makes a difference. That makes a difference. Lay aside every weight. Learn this. Don't think, oh, okay, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Especially the sin which so easily ensnares us. Right. It didn't say which sin it is. Which sin easily ensnares you? I don't know, but I know which sin easily ensnares me. Do you know which sin ensnares you? Yes, right? You know what sin ensnares me? No. Right. But take care of yourself. Don't worry about others. You take care first of yourself. And nobody can take care of you in such a way. Right. We are running a race. Everything in our life is important, every aspect, your diet, your rest, right? An athlete who is running a race must be trained. But if you're not an athlete, it doesn't matter if you weigh 200 pounds, 250 pounds is okay, but not if you're an athlete running a race, okay? You run a race if you have 180 pounds, you're not going to win, for sure. You might as well quit. Right? But if you are an athlete, you have to shed a lot of weight. You have to train yourself. No one who is running a race does not train himself. And nobody can train for you. Okay, you go to bed. I'll train for you, Jasmine. I'm your grandfather. I love you, so you just go and rest. I'll train for you. I tell you, that won't work. That training is not going to help you. That kind of a training will ruin you. Will ruin you. Yeah, whatever ensnares you, learn to put it down and say no, because I have a race to run. I want to reach the goal. I don't want to be here on this earth in the last 3.5 years, the great day of God's wrath. I want to be taken up. There's no other place that you can hide on this earth. When that great day of God's wrath came or comes. Let us run with endurance. That's another word that is important, endurance. All the athletes, all those who are aiming for something, you endure. If you just want to be a garbage collector, driving a garbage truck, well, it pays well. You don't need much endurance. It's okay. You just have to be trained to drive that truck. Well, that's all. You don't need a lot of training. You want to be a doctor, you need a lot of training and endurance. There's so many things to learn. You think spiritually, to reach spiritual maturity, to become a co-king with Christ, you don't need training. Huh? You do. Right. The Lord went through a lot of training. Yeah. So, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, then with endurance and focus. This verse tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, because he finished, but now he's perfecting us to finish. Right? To finish. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before him. Amen. That's the goal. That's the goal. The joy set before you. What do you see before you? What is more important? What is most important for you? To be a good architect? To earn more and more? What is your goal? What is your goal? Hey, to be on the throne with Christ, to sit with him on his throne. To him who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me on my throne, just as I am sitting with my Father on his throne. The Lord Jesus said that. To rule over all the nations with an iron rod and to inherit the universe. Everything that is created by God, you are to have a dominion. And this is the joy that was set before him. If you don't see the goal, you will not endure sufferings. That is, if you want a goal bad enough. I switch my goal. Yeah, because there's something better, more glorious, and eternal. It will never end. I don't want to spend eternity in somewhere else, where. Right. It's not a paradise like Hawaii, you know. Don't think you will be there forever. No, there's no such place anymore. No. You must have that goal, and that must be your joy. The joy that was set before him. If you think about it, don't you have the joy? Do you think about it? My, you're going to inherit all things. Or do you prefer just to have 1 million? Maybe 60 million. What about 1 billion? You know, those 1 billion are just paper that they're printing right now. They even printed 3 trillion. At the end of the day, this paper, the sanitary paper in your bathroom is worth more. Sorry to say that. And we treasure it today. 3 trillion. Trillion. Quadrillion. How about that? Everything is going to be gone. And then what? So, praise the Lord. Focus on the real joy, the real satisfaction, Amen. The eternal glory Amen. That will never end. That must be your joy, Jasper. That's a good name because the heavenly New Jerusalem has the glory exactly like a jasper. And God's throne The glory of God sitting on the throne in Revelation chapter 4 looks exactly like a jasper. So, when you see him, remember jasper. And I hope jasper remembers jasper. Yeah, right? And we have a mercy here. You should remember mercy all the time. Emmanuel, God with you. Ah, you better remember God is with you all the time. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. We all need to see the joy that was set before us. Amen. Then all things will be blurry. Then none of the things that you have surrounding you will be of any importance to you. They will mean not much. They mean something. You need a good job, that's fine. But it cannot be compared to the joy set before you. That's only temporary. We thank God for that. I'm not saying you should quit. No. Do a good job. But in the job, you gain Christ. That's the goal for having a job. It's to gain Christ. Right. So we have this wonderful example right now because we have now this exclusive example that reached the goal. He reached the goal. The cloud of witnesses, although they are really wonderful and great, but they still did not receive the promise yet. But this wonderful Jesus, he reached the goal. He gained the prize. He was sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the only one. And now we are running this race close to the goal. Those witnesses in chapter 11, they were in the beginning, but they had passed on the baton to you. And you're running the last race there, the last round. So what is the principle of running the last round? Run slowly. You have to run very fast to reach the goal. That's right. Oh, looking unto Jesus. And now it tells you, he endured the cross. Praise the Lord. Endured the cross. You have to learn this, right? To reach the goal. Despising the shame, your colleagues will laugh at you. What? You believe in God? You're a Christian? What? You don't do this? You don't do that? You must be a strange guy. So you don't want to be strange. So you go where they go. You do what they do. And you think you're going to reach that glorious goal like that? You're willing to despise the shame. Oh, how come we're all vaccinated and you're not? You're so queer. Well, you know what I mean, right? Despising the shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what we want. No shame is too great to stop us. Right, the cross, so what? Because the joy before you is much greater. Consider him, the Lord Jesus, who endured such hostility. It's not just people laughing at you. They even beat you up. How about that? They want to crucify you. They even want to get rid of you. Not even just the bad guys, it's seemingly the good guys. The chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Right. They are watching over him every day and trying to catch him. Look at Mr. T in the first 4 years being the president. My goodness, the pack of wolves trying to get him. Not one day he had rest and peace. All kinds of false accusation. Do you want to endure that? How about being a president like that? You want to sit on that kind of a throne? Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. You have to see Jesus to know all of the sufferings that he went through. Not just to be thankful that he did it. No, so that you will learn from him. It says, and Peter says, leaving an example for us. That means what he went through is not for you to appreciate, but as an example for you, because that is the way to help you reach the throne. And it's all because of sin that is in us. Yeah, it's replacing the real enjoyment in eternity with the pleasure of Egypt. And that deceived you. You think you're enjoying, but then after you go home, it's nothing. You go and see the film and so excited you go home and you forget about it because it's nothing. X-Men, but there's no X-Men. Maybe Y-Men, I don't know. Z-Men, Dead Man. It's okay. Is that enjoyment for 2 hours? Are you built up? After you see the X-Men, you became one. But if you see Jesus, Paul told us, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, with unveiled face, you behold the glory of the Lord. You'll be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. But you, if you see the X-Men, at the end, you'll be X out. You won't become one. Even you watch Superman 100 times, you won't be able to fly. You won't. Hey, consider him, Jesus. All the sufferings he went through, his humility, his absolute obedience toward God, despising the shame, his wisdom when he was on this earth, his holiness, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his humility. You considered him and all the sufferings that he went through. Follow his footsteps, because that's the way to glory. Don't just preach in not following his footsteps. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, enduring such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and be discouraged in your souls. Now, time is up, I'm sorry. But this point is important. That is why I'm dwelling in it a little bit, for the sake of the young ones. Right. That is the way. But it's up to you. You want to take it or not. You want to go that way or not. The choice is yours. The same as in the Garden of Eden. Don't be fooled by a serpent. God's word is true and faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's have one or two prayers, please. Amen.